bad news.
Tom and I were inside together, Dortmunder told her unwillingly. We were cellmates for a while. The gray man, who looked too flinty and stringy and nodded to be named anything as simple and friendly as Tom, made that laugh sound again and said, "Cellmates, pals, right, Al? Thrown together by the vagaries of fortune, right?" "That's right," Dortmunder said. "Why don't we sit in the living room?" Tom suggested, his lips a thin, straight line. "My coffee's getting cold in there."
"Sure," Dortmunder said.
Tom turned away, going back into the living room, walking rigid like a man who's been broken and then put back together a little wrong, using too much crazy glue. Behind his stiff back, May waggled eyebrows and shoulders and fingers at Dortmunder, asking, "Who is this person? Why is he in my house? What's going on? When will it end?" And Dortmunder shrugged ears and elbows and the corner of his mouth, answering, "I don't know what's going on. I don't know if this is some kind of trouble or not. We'll just have to wait and see." Then they followed Tom into the living room. Tom sat on the better easy chair, the one that hadn't sagged all the way to the floor, while Dortmunder and May took the sofa, sitting facing Tom with the look of a couple who've just been asked to think seriously about life insurance. Tom sat on the edge of the chair, leaning forward, lifting his cup from the coffee table, sipping with deep concentration. He looked like the background figure in a Depression movie, a guy hunkered over a small fire in a hobo encampment. Dortmunder and May watched him warily, and when he put the cup down, he leaned back and sighed faintly and said, "That's all I drink now. Lost my taste on the inside." Dortmunder said, "How long were you in, Tom, all in all?"
"All in all?" Tom made that sound again. "All my life, all in all. 23 years this last time. It was supposed to be for good, you know. I'm habitual."
"I remember that about you," Dortmunder said.
"Well, the answer is," Tom said, "while I've been eating regular meals and getting regular exercise and a good night's sleep all these years on the inside, the world's managed to get worse without me. Maybe I'm not the one they should have been protecting society from all along."
"How do you mean, Tom?"
"The reason I'm out," Tom said, "inflation, plus budget cuts, plus the rising inmate population. All on its own, Al, without any help from yours truly, society has raised up a generation of inmates. Sloppy ones, too, Al. Fourth rates you and me wouldn't use to hold the door open."
"There is a lot of that around," Dortmunder agreed.
"These are people," Tom went on, "that don't know a blueprint from a candy wrapper. And to pull a job with a plan, when these bozos take a step forward with the right foot, they have no really clear idea what they figure to do with the left."
"They're out there, all right," Dortmunder said, nodding. "I see them sometimes, asleep on fire escapes, with their head on a television set. They do kind of muddy the water for the rest of us."
"They take all the fun out of prison, I can tell you that," Tom said. "And the worst of it is, their motivation's no damn good. Now, Al, you and me know, if a man goes into a bank with a gun in his hand and says, 'Give me the money and a 5-minute start,' there's only 2 good reasons for it. Either his family's poor and sick and needs an operation and shoes and school books and meat for dinner more than once a week, or the fellow wants to take a lady friend to Miami and party. One or the other. Am I right?"
"That's the usual way," Dortmunder agreed. "Except it's mostly Las Vegas now."
"Well, these clowns can't even get that much right," Tom said. "The fact is, what they steal for is to feed their veins, and they go right on..."